We're very, very excited about it, and so God is good. If I could have Brother Mike Ronk come up here. How many of you guys know Mike? Most of you. Good, good, good. He's a great guy. And now, how many don't know Mike? A few of you. Okay. Well, this is Mike. He's a. If you need to know anything about softball, ask Mike. He plays once in a while. But anyhow, Mike, if those of you don't know him, but just by looking at Mike, or just say you didn't even know him, if you looked at Mike, could you tell if he was saved or not saved? What's he doing? Got halo on him or something? No, you cannot tell just by looking at a person what their spirituality is. Okay, now Mike has a nice car. Maybe it's the car you drive. You think it's the car he drives that tells how what he is spiritually? No, I know it's your house. It's got to be the house. It's the house. No, no, I know. They got this dog called Bumpers. And it's got to be Bumpers would be able to tell by looking at Bumpers if you're saved or not.
Sure.
No. No. We can pull anybody out of anywhere, and we can't tell their spirituality just by looking at them. You know how we start to tell who they are on the inside? When they speak. The words of their mouth determines who they are on the inside. Thank you, Mike. I appreciate you coming up. Thank you. Hallelujah. But what we say shoots out visions to people of who we are. You know, and I've been caught in this myself before. I know we're not supposed to judge. And I would say to myself, and they call themselves a Christian? Because you hear this stuff come out of their mouth that is nothing pleasant, nothing good, nothing uplifting. And so this is what I want to deal with this morning. And it's more of a pastoral message. It's not a fun lift-up message. But when we get out of this place, you'll be glad that you heard the message, because correction comes through the Word. And I want to let you know that, hey, we all need to watch what we say. Because I don't know about you, but I listen to what people say. And what it does, it tells us immediately where you're at spiritually. And so we want people, when they hear us, think that person is a person of God. They love the Lord. It doesn't mean we'll always be perfect by any means. Don't get me wrong there. We'll all mess up here and there. But we do know the Savior quickly to go to and forgive and correct. And sometimes we have to go to people and say, you know what, I'm sorry, I was such a jerk. I'm sorry my mouth ran off like that. Amen. Amen. I was on a job one time, been a while back, and this person came to me and says, and they knew I was the pastor at Spirit Life Church, they said, do you allow your people to go around cussing? I said, well, everybody is individual. We don't recommend it. We don't say it's good. We come against it, or you know, we try. But everybody's going to do what they do. And I said, it's actually an overflow of what's inside, and what's inside's got to change for that to change out of their mouth. And they said, okay, because I didn't know, because this person, boy, it just flows right out of their mouth, and they talk so good about the church, but then they talk so bad about everything else. And so I said, well, God is good, and I'm sure that God will work on their heart. And that's what we need sometimes. We need a heart transplant, a heart change, a turning of the knob a little bit on our inward man to get correctness going. So anyway, words are a heart issue, and words are an overflow issue, and words are an accountability issue. And let's turn over to Matthew chapter 12. We're going to read out of the New King James Version here. Chapter 12. We're going to start with verse 33. Glory to God. Matthew 12, verse 33. And it says, either make the tree good and its fruits good, or else make the tree bad and its fruits bad. For a tree is known by its fruits. I always mess this word up. Broad of vipers. brood of vipers, how can you being evil speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of good treasures of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasures brings forth evil things. But I say to you that every idle word man speaks, they will be given account of it on the day of judgment. For your words will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Actually, what you're saying, what you speak out, is, you allow me to say it like this, it's a litmus test of the condition of your heart. Now, when I say heart, we're talking about our spirit being and that. And so words are a heart issue. And it says here in the first verse there, it says, either make a tree good and its fruits good, or else make the tree bad and its fruits bad, for a tree is known by its fruits. Now, Jesus here is speaking to people that were in the agricultural part. That's what they dealt with. They're always growing something. That's how they lived. They didn't go down to McDonald's and just think it's going to be there. They were with the planting, with the growing, with the developing, with the watching the herds, with all that. So Jesus would always, a lot of times, use about fruit or about planting or trees and different things. And so, you know, he gets to them. And so when he starts talking, a lot of times he talks about the fruits and about the animals. And then he would use those truths to get to his spiritual point that he's getting to. Amen? So Jesus says here, well, either I'm evil and do evil work, or else I'm good or do good work. Either the tree's good or the tree's bad. Either the tree produces good fruit or it produces bad fruit. So he's kind of relating it, and this goes back to what the Pharisees had said earlier, are you casting out demons in the name of Beelzebub? So he could tell right there by that words where their heart was at. Their heart was not on the things of God, but on the things of evil that was already planted in their heart. And so he could tell exactly where their heart was. And I'm not trying to say you don't go out of this church and I'm not saying nothing. And we don't need to be the confession police. We let the Lord work on our confessions. Amen? So when I hear somebody mess up, I let the Lord work on them. Unless sometimes I might say, you know, you might kind of want to watch what you're saying there. You know, something nice, but you know what? We've all messed up. We've all said things we shouldn't say. But you know what? The Lord is good to convict us and help us. And we get through things. In James chapter 3, verse 2 out of the NLT, it says, does a fig tree produce olives? Or a grapevine produce figs? No, and you can't draw fresh water from a salty spring. Amen. I can't tell the spiritual condition of someone's heart by what Mike was wearing, can I? I can't tell it by the clothes, the car he's driving or the dog that he has, but I can tell his spiritual condition by every time that he talks. Amen. People are going to listen to what we say. In Proverbs 10:19, it says, in the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise. Amen. Those who restrain their lips is wise. I like wise, don't you? Now, let me just say this. What you say is a reflection on you. What you say is a reflection on you. What you say is a reflection on God. And what you say is also a reflection onto the church. Because what people start saying, this is what church people are like. Yeah. And they're not seeing, they're just hearing the one mess up you had this month. Yeah. Amen. But I want to say that your words reflect who you are. Your words reflect that. Your attitude reflects that. I was in the office at my little secular job that I go to, and the boss was saying, "Tim, you got to be the most level person that we ever had at this job." And I said, "Well, thank you, but I could think of a few other people that are kind of level-headed around there. But anyhow, but you know, I thought, well, that's a compliment because my actions is reflecting something else to somebody else. And I'm thinking, if my actions are reflaying, that sounds like I'm cooking something. I'm flaying it up. Maybe Bobby Flay. But anyway, my actions and my words are making a reflection. Thank you, my love. A reflection onto other people. Amen. So we got to realize what we say, what we do, our actions, people are watching. Amen. And you know what? They could be saved or unsaved. We watch everybody, don't we? We go by somebody, we think, that person's crazy. Let me walk on the other side of the store. You know what I'm saying? And so, a good heart and a bad mouth are contradictory to each other. You can have the best heart and the worst mouth, and they're contradictory in each other because people are seeing double vision, if you allow me to say it like that. They say, well, boy, they really, really say things, but boy, their mouth just runs it all. In James chapter 3, verses 8 through 10 out of the NLT, it says, "But no one can tame the tongue. It is restless and evil, full of deadly poison. Sometimes it praises the Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who have been made in the image of God. And so blessings and cursings come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sister, this is not right." Amen. In other words, let's get constant in our words or what we're saying. Now, if you say, well, I just can't quit saying these bad words. Well, you need a heart change. You need Jesus to work on your heart because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So it makes me wonder, what are you putting in? Are you spending more time putting in the world and what the world says and what the world does than the things that God says and what God does? And so when we're doing that, our words become a heart issue, which leads us to the overflow issue. It says, "Brood of vipers." And in the King James, it says, actually, "generations of vipers." How can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of good treasures of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasures brings forth evil. Amen. I wrote down, I got to look it up here. I got it here somewhere. The definition of treasury or treasure there, it says, comes from the Greek noun, which means great abundance, fullness, our overflow. It carries the ideal of excess, which in terms of Jesus' figure spills over from the heart and out of the mouth from words. So what you're putting in is what's going to be coming out. And I know that we're transforming day by day. But I think as Christians in this day and age, we need to speed up the transformation because we have less time every day to speak to people about Jesus than we had the day before. And if we're confusing people with our words or what we're saying, and they're saying, it's just like the Pharisee speaking to Jesus, and he's saying, "You old vipers, you." In other words, you poison people. You got poison coming out of your mouth. You know what? We need to have the love of Jesus come out of our mouth and not the poison of the devil come out of our mouth. Amen. And the reason he uses that term, vipers, because the snakes and things would get into crevices, kind of like our snakes in this area do, and they start looking like their surrounding area. Sometimes you can't tell a rattlesnake's there till you hear it walking up on it. Thank God for the warning rattle. Amen. But I tell you what, a thing that'll clear a swimming pool out, you throw a water moccasin right in that pool. Everybody's out. Why? Because that water moccasin wants to bite somebody. And that's what a snake and a viper does. You remember Paul when he was on the Isle of Melita, he grabbed up that bundle of wood, and inside that wood was that viper. And, you know, if he knew that viper was there, he would have just dropped the wood. And, you know, we have self-protection mode automatically built in our life. But he didn't know it was there. And when he jumped on that fire, that wood on that fire, that snake came out and grabbed him. Oh, my goodness. And the island people thought he was going to swell up and die and be over with. But then when he didn't swell up, he didn't die. He just kept on doing about his business. They thought he is somebody from God. And the whole island ended up getting saved after he went over and prayed for the chief to get well. Amen. Many got saved because somebody wasn't getting fooled by a bunch of vipers. So we have to watch what we speak. I wrote this, how can an evil man like you speak what is good and right, for whatever is in your heart determines what you will say. There's the old adage, think before you speak. Boy, wouldn't that be good sometimes? Oh, but I'm an American, I got to get it out quick. No, you can wait a little bit on what you're having to say if it isn't good. It is an edifying. We just went over that during offering. You speak what is right, what is good, what is acceptable, what is edifying, what's going to teach somebody. Amen. You speak good things out of your mouth so that we don't have confuse people of who we are in Christ Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. You know what I love about Jesus in the Gospels? He never shied away from an evil confrontation. He just met it straight on. He didn't mind calling the Pharisees hypocrites, vipers, evil. Why? Because they were so intent on the law, they weren't thinking about what would please God. It was just about what would please them and their laws and make sure that no one ever broke a law. Amen. You can't do that on Saturday or Sunday. You can't. That's breaking the law. He would just tell them, hey, is it better for me to heal this guy? Or wait, don't you go pull your donkey out of the ditch if it falls in the ditch? Yes. Well, certainly you do. So don't you think I should be able to heal this guy? Cause him to be able to get out of his bed? Cause him to be able to be a producing citizen of the state here? Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Of course, they didn't have states, but you know what I'm talking about. It goes back to the whole idea that a good tree cannot produce bad fruit. Amen. Amen. We cannot keep producing what is evil and thinking it's going to produce something good. Amen. And our mouths, if we don't control what we say, then our mouths are going to go rampant and no one's going to be listening to you, but they're just going to be calling you a hypocrite because you're saying one thing and then you're saying something else. It's completely opposite. Amen. Proverbs 15:28 says, the heart of the righteous studies how to answer. Proverbs 15:28. If you got your Bible underlined, if you got your electronic Bible, highlight it. The heart of the righteous studies how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours forth evil. Amen. Do you want to answer good? Don't you? Yeah. Study how to answer good. Just watching what you're saying is not enough. Just holding your tongue is not enough. If your words are bad, it's because your heart issue is not right. You know, on our washer we have at our house, you turn the knob to wash or normal, whatever we set it on, until I do a lot of it, huh? And it makes a whole cycle. If I stop that washer in the middle of its cycle, my clothes are not getting clean. And I think a lot of times in Christianity, we think, well, you know, I got saved, I'm okay, I know it all now. It's been 4 months. No, you know what? You still need to develop some more in the washer. You need to do the whole cycle so that when the cycle gets done, the knob's back where it started, and you are clean. Amen. In other words, God wants to spend time working on your heart, cleaning it up, mending it, making it right. Amen. You don't necessarily need a new vocabulary. You need a new heart. It needs to be renewed. We have to renew our heart. When David realized he sinned, it tore him up. When he had the realization, oh my gracious, I did this. So he said in Psalms 51, verse 10, out of the NLT, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew, King James says, a right spirit in me, but I like how the NLT says, renew a loyal spirit within me. Renew a loyal spirit within me. As we yield to the Holy Spirit, our words become better. I'm going to say that one more because Travis is the only one that kind of... That was the delayed amen too, by the way, Travis. As we yield to the Holy Spirit, in other words, as we yield, when the Holy Spirit is saying that, think about what you're going to say and don't say it that way. As we start yielding to the Holy Spirit and as we start understanding the Word of God and we get a deeper revelation of who God is in us, our hearts become better. Our hearts become better. Amen. As I told you, I think a few weeks ago, that when I was a child, I had a severe temper. I was a mad young man. And don't get me mad, because you don't want to see the outcome of it. I would throw a rock. I would just lose it. And I told you the fact that my grandmother thinks she credited herself for keeping me out of the penitentiary. And it probably has a good part to play with that. Because there was no dysfunction around her. She's kind of like Jesus. She'd take you up and straighten you out. Amen. Just like the Word has to do to us sometimes. Do you love it when the Word corrects you? It bites a little bit at first, but it's good. It's kind of like that apple, what do they call it, Granny Smith, that's kind of sour. But yet, you don't stop eating it. It's so good. It just, Jim McKay said, no, I stop. Forget that. And what really, well, we won't get into the caramel on them, but anyway. I want to get to my third point, so I know the seniors are getting hungry. They're going. No. Anyway, it says in the verse 36 of our text, but I say to you that every idle word man may speak, they will give account for in the day of judgment. That's strong words right there. It is strong words. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. I don't want to put you under heavy condemnation, but if you know you just said a bunch of idle words that are no good, you know what you need to do? You need to say, Lord, forgive me. What repentance does is remind you of what you did so that you can turn from it and go the other way, not stay in combination of it. So you know what? God is a just God, and I don't believe that the words that you may have not said, Lord, forgive me about, they'll probably be held against you. But the ones that were said, you know, oh, God, I am so sorry. I just blew it. My flesh, the old man, just came back for about a half hour there. You know what I think he's going to say? Just like he does with every other sin. I don't remember that. What sin? What sin? Amen. But if you think words don't have any consequences to them, and I almost didn't want to use this analogy just because of all the stuff going on these days. But a gun, what it does when it shoots at a person, it's intended to hurt the person, or if say it's a fatal shot, it would kill that person. But I think a lot of times words are worse than the bullet. Because a word can put somebody to shame. A word can lie about somebody and knock them out of their position. A word can tear somebody down. A word can last in somebody's head forever. So let's watch our words. But above all, my brethren, this is James 5:12, but at all, my brethren, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no be no, lest you fall into judgment. We need to make sure of what we're saying. You know what? We can hide things from our families. We can hide things from our friends. We can hide things from our co-workers, but we're not going to hide it from God. So you got to realize, hey, the old saying, you can fool some of the people some of the time, but you can't fool them all the time. Amen. We are set a guard, we're supposed to set a guard around our words. Psalms 141 verse 3 says, set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep a watch over the door of my lips. Set a guard over my mouth. Keep a watch over my lips. We have to realize that our words are an overflow of our heart condition. And if you need to straighten things up today with the Lord and ask Him to work on your heart because your mouth is not right, then that's what you need to do. And I'm not saying we haven't all been there. I'm just saying that we've had less and less time to be a good example to people to win them to the Lord. And our words are a major part of what's going on in our life. And it's an overflow. It's a heart issue. It's an overflow issue. When you get so full inside, what's inside is going to come out. It's just what it is. And it's an accountability issue. Are you keeping accountability on your mouth? Are you asking the Lord, put a guard on my mouth, watch over my lips? So next time you speak, are you going to glorify God? Or are you going to tear Him down? You're going to draw people closer to Him? are further away from Him. I want to draw people closer to Him. I want people, when they look at me, and I know I'm not perfect, I know you're not perfect, I want people to look at me and say, you know what? They're a Christian. They're a Christ follower. They follow after Jesus. I don't want them to be confused by me saying one thing and then totally destroying it with my next words out. I don't want to stub my toe and have the old man come out. I want to stub my toe and say, ow, that, ouch. But we know a lot of times what we do say, we get mad. The old man comes alive. But you know what? You need to crucify him in the morning. Just say, you're staying down, dude. We got a God that loves us so much. And I'm not trying to put any condemnation on anybody, but I'm just saying, we need to have God watch us more. And I want to be a good example for Him. And if I'm a good example for Him, I'm going to watch what I say. That the things that come out of my mouth are pure, acceptable unto God. Amen. Would you close your eyes and bow your heads? Maybe you're here today and you never asked Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. It's time to come to make Him Lord, to make Him Savior of your life.